this coming Sunday, May 27, 2007, is actually the day of Pentecost. Now, what that means is actually Penta, 50 days. Pentecost is just 50 days after the Passover, and for Christians, it's actually 50 days after Easter. Now, day of Pentecost should have a great significance for Christians, because according to many theologians, this is the day that the church was birthed. The whole story, the whole wonderful event is actually recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where, you know, in the first verse it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning that, you know, the whole event that occurred in chapter 2 is happened on the day of Pentecost, and this actually marks the birth of the New Testament church. Basically, what happens is that the apostles and many other believers gathered together in one place and started praying and kept on praying day after day and day after day, until when day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit in the symbolic form of tongues like fire, tongues of fire, tongues like fire, came upon each person and filled them all with the Holy Spirit, and they started to speak in other languages. And then this whole supernatural event caused many people to wonder and to try to figure out what's going on. Why are these people talking in different languages, and why are they all acting different or very weirdly? And then that whole event caused the birth of the church, where Peter stood up and started preaching the salvation message, and many people got saved, and many people were added into the church of the church. But I want to, talk specifically about this and this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, is this the same event as what Jesus said in John chapter 12 to 14, where he says, I will return to the Father, and, together we will send the Holy Spirit down among to the believers in order for the Holy Spirit to become their counselor, their helper. I would argue, actually, that this is a different event. This is a different event from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is basically what is recorded in John 12 to 14, actually probably even more chapters than that, but specifically recorded in John 12 to 14, where the Holy Spirit is with us, living in us 24/7, where we can constantly commune and fellowship with Him and talk with Him, and He will talk back to us and teach us and guide us. This many people will call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But if I go through the book of Acts, you will see that this is actually a different event than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a different event. Why would I say this? Because if we look back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is Jesus telling his disciples right before he returns to heaven. Basically what he's saying is that, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is what Jesus is saying. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Being filled with the Holy Spirit speaks more about empowerment, supernatural empowerment. And we can see later on in the book of Acts also, in chapter 4, where the disciples lacked the boldness, or they needed a supernatural burst in boldness, because some of them were arrested by the leaders at that time, and the leaders told them, "You should no longer speak regarding the name of Jesus, or else bad things will happen to you." The disciples then gathered many fellow Christians and started praying to God and asking God to give them supernatural strength and supernatural boldness to be able to speak the gospel and speak the truth. And God answered them in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Can you turn over there? Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. "And when they had prayed," meaning when the disciples had prayed, "the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Being filled with the Holy Spirit usually is linked to having the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, having a supernatural empowerment, being able to do supernatural things. In fact, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a New Testament thing only. While the John chapter 12 to chapter 14 event, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is a New Testament privilege, in terms that it did not ever occur in the past, in the Old Testament time. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is actually an event or events that we can see in the Old Testament happened or occurred before. Many times the prophets, before they speak a prophecy, the phrase, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon them," giving them the utterance, the supernatural prophetic utterance, being able to speak the word of God. In fact, if we look at the life of Samson, in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges towards the end, many people actually think that Samson is naturally strong. That may be true, but actually if we look at the events, the supernatural things, supernatural feats of strength that Samson does, it's always preceded by the phrase, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Then he was able to defeat the lion and kill the lion with his bare hands. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then he was able to, pull up the gates of the, I believe, the Philistine city, one of the Philistine city gates. So we can see actually that the being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is happened in the Old Testament and also happens in the New Testament, except that in the Old Testament they just call it the Spirit of the Lord came upon a person, while in the New Testament it's called the Spirit fills the person, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is an important distinction, because sometimes there's some confusion as in if I have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, do I even need to seek God to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe you do, because I am arguing that it is two different events. In fact, in the book of Ephesians 5:18, God specifically commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians 5:18 says. What does the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit do, or what's the difference? Does the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit also help us? And I believe it does, or He does, based upon John 12-14. He is the Counselor. He is the one who comes and leads us and guides us. And the more we are in tune with the direction and the guidance and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the more we will live out the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, or the characteristics of Jesus Christ, as is known or commonly called the fruit of the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. It is listed in Galatians 5, 22-23, where it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, as people are more in tune and more obedient to the Holy Spirit coming, and the indwelling Holy Spirit coming and guiding them and teaching them, they could be known as someone who is full of the Holy Spirit, someone who is so full of the Holy Spirit that they their outward behavior has the characteristics of God, of the nature of God, or of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This all is what also known as being a mature Christian, or someone who is maturing in Christ, meaning someone who is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And we can also see this in the book of Acts, or in the book of Acts chapter 6, specifically in verse 3, where the apostle said, seek out seven men who are of good reputation, who are also full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this business. Meaning that basically what happened was that there was some unfairness going on within the Christian community regarding the daily distribution of food, and the people came in and complained to the apostles, and the apostles said, we need to focus our time on the preaching of the word and on prayer. So let's select seven people who are mature Christians, who are full of the Holy Spirit, meaning that their outward behavior and their way, their thinking, are in sync with the Holy Spirit, with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And let these seven people deal with the situation. Let them be overseers over the distribution of the food. So there is a difference between the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which I believe actually comes upon all believers the moment we come to know Christ, the moment we confess that Jesus is Lord, and that, you know, God raised him from the dead. We are saved and we are born again. And the fact that we are born again means that we actually already received the John 12-14 indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will always be with us 24/7. In fact, even the apostles themselves, you know, the 12 disciples, or the 11 disciples, experience this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, or the giving of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, occurred in a different situation than different time than in the book of Acts. If we turn to the book of John, chapter 20, verse 22, we can see that, you know, this is the resurrected Jesus talking to the apostles at that time, where Jesus says in John chapter 20, verse 22, "And when he," meaning Jesus, "had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So you can see there are two different instances. One is in the book of John, where Jesus breathed on them and told them to receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And then in the book of Acts, recorded on the day of Pentecost, where the filling of the Holy Spirit, the initial filling of the Holy Spirit, came upon the church, or came upon the apostles. Of course, the filling of the Holy Spirit can be done over and over again, which, you know, if we read through the book of Acts, we can see it actually occurs over and over again, which is in sync with what happened in the Old Testament, where the prophets time and time again received the infilling of the Holy Spirit in order for them to be able to prophesy the words of God, and where Samson, time and time again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, where he was able to do feats, or great feats of strength. So, you know, hopefully you can already see that there is a distinction between the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, you know, everyone who, you know, confess that Jesus is Lord has already, because of this confession, they already have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily the filling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, how could I say that? Well, let's turn to the 1 John chapter 4. Let's jump to 12, verse 12, where it says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him," meaning in God, "and God in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." I want to specifically point out in verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, meaning that the Holy Spirit abides in him, and, you know, the person abides in God. So we can see that whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and, you know, believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, because we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God already lives in us and abides in us through his Holy Spirit, through the 24/7 constant presence, constant encouragement, constant help, constant counseling of the Holy Spirit is already in us. However, that does not mean that we actually are empowered or have the supernatural ability to be able to accomplish the things of God that God wants us to do. In order for us to experience that, we need the infilling or the filling of the Holy Spirit. As I said just now, even the disciples, they have two different events occur to them. One is that Jesus breathed on them and gave them the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, while in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost and empowers them to be able to speak and preach the word of God with boldness and with, you know, supernatural signs and wonders. Jumping back to, you know, Ephesians 5:18, it is a command of God that all Christians should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, if we read through the whole book of Galatians, it is also the command of God that all Christians should be full of the Holy Spirit, meaning that all Christians should have a constant fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, being encouraged and being changed by the Holy Spirit constantly. But I want to specifically talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that all Christians, we need, as Christians, we need this specific supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit in order for us to be able to do supernatural things for the kingdom of God. There has to be a balance between these two, because if one, you know, just focus mainly on, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the empowerment, but lacks the character, meaning the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, it will bring a very, very bad misbalance into this whole equation. You know, a person may become self-centered because, you know, they are able to do some supernatural works. A person without love, you know, but still doing, you know, healing is actually falls into the judgment written in 1 Corinthians 13, where, you know, they can do wonderful works, but without love, all the stuff that they do means nothing. That's actually in 1 Corinthians 13. But on the other side, if a person focuses only on, you know, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Spirit and neglecting being filled, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, then what happens is that, yes, the person may have good, great character. However, you know, they lack the supernatural empowerment that comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit to be able to do the works of God. They may be good people to talk to. They may be, you know, great people to become friends with, but they are sort of less than prime, less than effective in terms of doing the works of God, because the works of God requires, you know, the supernatural strength of God to give us, you know, the ability to do so. So we, as Christians, we need both. We need to be both being full of the Holy Spirit and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we will have the ability and the empowerment that comes from God to be able to do the things that God wants us to do, that we won't try to accomplish God's purpose based upon our own wisdom and our own knowledge and our own strength, because that is far too hard and, quite honestly, impossible for us to accomplish, because God's purposes are usually way beyond our, you know, human ability and our human knowledge to accomplish. So it is important for us to be full of the Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you become, and how do you be full and filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, as always, you know, you have to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to recognize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Now, I've already spoken about this in a little more details in the previous message titled "Jesus is our Lord and Savior." So if you want to know more about that, just, you know, go back to the website and just click on that message, or you can just click on the website, Get to Know Jesus. Having a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus, is the necessary step for us to be both, you know, full of the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But since today's message is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is, you know, I want to specifically deal with this situation. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a command of God. Let's not, you know, try to sidestep that. In Ephesians 5:18, it is clearly a command from God that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for us just to, you know, just to focus on just one aspect of the Holy Spirit, but we need to focus on both, having the character of the Holy Spirit, which is very, very important, but also equally as important, we have to be filled to have the empowerment and the power that comes from God to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. Now, having said about being filled with the Holy Spirit, as or some parts of Christianity will actually call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A question sometimes will come to mind is that, okay, how do I know that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? And throughout the ages, there are some people who will say that the way to know this is actually through speaking in tongues, because many times in the book of Acts, when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, the speaking of tongues comes along with it. In fact, in the first time in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where we just read about the day of Pentecost, the people did speak in tongues. And in Acts chapter 4, where the disciples prayed for boldness, once again they also spoke in tongues after being filled with the Holy Spirit. Actually, now let me just flip back to Acts 4 and take a look, because I don't believe it actually says that they were speaking in tongues. In fact, I don't think it says that they were speaking in tongues. Okay, so then just these two examples, we can see that actually speaking in tongues is not the only way that we can know that being filled with the Holy Spirit, whether we are filled or not. Speaking of tongues, yes, many times it accompanies being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's not the only way to know or to find out. How do we know? We can feel, it's very personal how do you know you're speaking the word of God with boldness? That's basically what happened in in Acts 4. It's just that there's a difference in you. There's a supernatural boldness in you. So how do you know whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you have to pray for it, and then just a change will happen to you. Sometimes, yes, the speaking tongues will accompany you. Then, of course, it's easier for you to find out to know, oh yes, I never spoke in tongues before and now I do. So apparently, yes, I have experienced the initial filling of the Holy Spirit. But other times, it could be just a sudden boldness to preach, to speak the word of God, or a sudden ability to be able, like Samson in the past, to be able to do feats of strength, or like the prophets of old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or any of those prophets, where suddenly the word of God just comes upon you, the prophetic word of God just comes upon you. So, do you have to speak in tongues in order for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No, you don't. However, from my own perspective, this is the way I want to look at it. Speaking in tongues is actually a gift from God. So if God is giving that gift, I want it. If God is giving the free gift of speaking in tongues, sure, why not? Whatever you want to give me, God, I want it. That's my perspective. So, do you have to speak in tongues? No, you don't. If you really don't want to, well, great. Then it's just a gift that, I guess, goes unused. In fact, if you don't want to speak in tongues, I'll pray that God gives me the gifts that were supposed to be for you. It never hurts to have more gifts and blessings from God anyway. But, that's just from my perspective, whether if you want to speak in tongues or not. Just let whatever the Holy Spirit is giving, I want it, and that's just my perspective. Okay, so hopefully I've already convinced you that yes, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a different event than having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Both are important. Both are very, very important. However, especially because I want to focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit, that it is equally many times, I'll just say it, equally as important as having the character, having the fruit of the Spirit, is that we need to be able to do the supernatural work so that God does, by filling us with His Holy Spirit, with His power and His presence. So, if you want, I want to do a closing prayer where I'll pray that God will actually fill us with His Holy Spirit. And, if He's giving out the gift of tongues, I praise God. If He's giving out other gifts, praise God. Whatever He's giving out, I want it. So, if you're desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come and pray with me. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for just reminding us, Lord, that it is Your command for all Christians to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, because, Lord, we cannot do Your required purposes, Your required works, based upon our own wisdom or based upon our own strength, because Lord, what you want us to do is far, far, far beyond our ability. But Lord, I thank you because Lord, when you tell us what to do, you are also the one who will give us the empowerment to do it. And Lord, therefore, right now, Lord, I pray for all the people who are desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will stretch out your hand and Lord, just as you have sent forth your Holy Spirit, the mighty empowerment of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. For those who have never been filled before, Lord, that you will fill them initially, and for those who have been filled before, that you'll fill us again, because Lord, it never helps and never hurts to be filled over and over again. Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will fill us in your Holy Spirit, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, so that we will be able to speak your word with supernatural signs and wonders accompanying. You will be able to bring healing to the people you want to bring healing, Lord. And Lord, for those who are crying out, Lord, that you will accompany the filling with the Holy Spirit, with the gift of tongues, Lord, that you will just send forth your gifts. In fact, Lord, send forth all your gifts, that the gifts that you want to give us, Lord. And Lord, that you will just release their mouth, that they will be able to praise you with a different language, Lord, and praise you with the heavenly language. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, when we cry out to you, when we pray according to your desire and your will, you hear us, and Lord, you will answer us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.